This is tape recording number 6001C04HCS-1. A lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard at the HCS course on the 4th January 1960. The title of this lecture is E-meter Phenomena. It isn't 60 minutes long. Copyright 1960 by L. Ron Hubbard. All world performance rights reserved. This recording has been re-recorded by the Department of Publications worldwide, St. Hill Manor, East Grinstead, Sussex, England.
Familiar, which is just like home. I haven't seen that since the last time I looked at my couch. I haven't seen this microphone for a long time. I haven't seen this hotel since I went to college. Well, now, I understand that we've got a course going. Huh? What I understood. And the lecture you've just heard in the last hour is the lecture and introduction. Applause. One applause. The reason I wanted you to do that is because I don't want to waste any time on this. Now, the reason I don't want to waste any particular... What's the matter, Bonnie?
I'm getting a part of the one that she
knows. Well, he's green, you know. I mean... Got it? 1, 2, 3, 4? 1, 2, 3, 4? We'll get it on one machine, son.
Yeah.
Got it? All right. That's why you have two machines. Now, I've got an awful lot of space to cover with you in a week, and then you've got an awful lot of space to cover to catch up with it. That's for sure. That's for sure. Now, this little gimmick known as knee meter, who's got one? Is the thing that should first capture your attention, should be the subject of your concentration. Learn to eat off of it, sleep with it, and think while looking at it. It's a very, very important thing, this E-meter. This E-meter is sufficiently important that I don't think you could clear a case without it. You're not psychic like I am. Got it, Bonnie? A no machine now, huh?
No, I've got it.
All right. Okay. I don't think you could clear anybody without this. I really don't. Climbing into people's skulls and looking around and so forth, let that be reserved to the early days, huh? I even used to go so far as to hold people's pulses to find out when they get a pulse race. That works, too. Watch their chests. Watch their foot positions. You could still do that. You notice when you hit a hot question. You seem very worried, Bonnie. Is something real wrong here?
Now, do you care whether you have a loudspeaker going in the back or
not? I don't want a loudspeaker. Got it? You can hear back there. All right. There isn't any reason for you to be psychic. Because it just plain wears you out. Your attention starts pulling down in the course of 2 or 3 hours of session and so on. You can watch people's chests and see whether or not they heave sighs and watch their feet and look for agitation and listen to voice intonation and all that sort of thing. But it is a very unreliable method of telling whether or not somebody's agitated because very often it's when they get quiet that it's really hitting. Got that? Now, you would never know when a process was flat unless you watch this tone arm. You watch that tone arm, and don't you go leaving the tone arm high and thinking you flattened the process, because you haven't. If you're running the right process, this tone arm will come down properly. Now, don't expect, perhaps, in the first few sessions on a real red-hot case that you're going to get this tone arm down very far. You may not get it down for several sessions. But once you've got the thing tamed down, you've got the case more or less whipped, solved. Then the tone arm factor becomes very, very, very important. And when you run a process, you will see, for instance, running a man, you'll see this thing, just at the start of the session, he'd be cool as a cucumber and probably sitting down here around 3. Then you start running the thing and you find it graduating upstairs. Well, look at here, don't you leave that upstairs and say end of session. Because it'll come right back downstairs again and hit on 3. And you'll find the needle will get looser and looser and looser as you run it, and these up and down variations will get greater, will get more and more frequent. They will occur in less time space. You'll have this sensitivity, you see, turned clear on down here to practically nothing, and anything the pre-clear does on this particular process will be kicking this tone arm way back and forth. That doesn't mean he's clear particularly, but it means he's clear on what you're running. He's getting clearer and clearer, and then your tone arm comes down here. And finally, you will be able to just go on saying the auditing command, and nothing happens to the needle, and nothing happens to the tone arm, and it's flat. You got that? Now, let's take something like this. By dint of your extreme genius, and don't think it takes less, you take off from the point of extreme genius. You hear me, auditors? See? And then improve yourself. Get the idea. Don't think that anything I'm going to tell you is going to be able to put your brains in pawn, see? And travel from there, because it won't. You just won't be able to. Today, you're auditing cases, and you're auditing them on the hottest buttons there are in cases, and it requires you to be alert and you to be on your toes all the time. Now, any auditor who could do this back in Dianetic days could run all the engrams off of a case and everything was fine. You understand? But he had to be on his toes all the time. Got the idea? Well, if you're going to clear anybody, you're going to run it all the time, right on your toes. Now, I did have the funny thing happen. Getting about the hottest button I ever saw come off a case. With the PC totally doped out with ARC brakes. Running long after 10 o'clock. 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, by the way. And the auditor sound asleep between commands. Actually going to sleep. PC had to reach over and kick the auditor for the next command. And listen now, it resolved. Listen, that sounds then that any knucklehead can do it. I can see that now on a fly leaf of the book published by old Art Seppos, you know. Anybody can do it, you know. Sound asleep, they can do it. No, the genius took place in that session. It was just that auditor and pre-clear were totally bushed. There wasn't much time to audit, and they had lots of other things to do. There wasn't any time except to bust the code and audit past 10 o'clock, you see. But the genius had taken place at about 11 o'clock. And believe me, it was a burst of the purest fireworks on the part of the auditor. That auditor sparked long and blue. Looked over this meter and says, "What's this? What's this?" You know? Kept asking the PC, you know, showing the meter upside down. "What's this? You know? What's this?" And the PC said, "Well, I don't know what this is. It's nothing to do with me. I mean, what are you asking me for? You're the auditor. I've got a responsibility for the session, you know." The auditor kept saying, "Well, is it this? Is it that? Is it something else? Is it something else? Is it something else? What's this?" You know, and shove it at the auditor, shove it at the PC again and say, "Come on, tell me what it is. No tone arm can act like that." PC said, "But I don't know. I don't know. It didn't have anything to do with me. I never heard of such a thing." "Oh, I know what it is. It's just nothing at all. It's the fact that I'm tired. That's why it's reading." "Oh, no, no, no." They were going on like this, like mad, and the next thing you know, why, bang, the whole computation of the case dropped out with a great crash and a thud. The overts and withholds were already off of the PC to a very marked degree, you see. and the rest of the case computation was all set to fall out in somebody's lap. But it took pure genius to get it out, because the PC never would have noticed it. The PC would have gone on to the end of time saying, well, there's nothing in that zone, is there? It took the auditor, and it took very pure genius on the part of the auditor. But once it was solved, it was solved. And after that, it just took a lot of mechanical running and watching that E-meter and making sure that PC didn't slip off of it and listening to the arguments of the PC about, you know, this thing is flat. See? Flat. Audrey'd wake up long enough to say, no, it's not flat. Here's the next auditing command. By the way, this solved on one of the most screwball processes, I think, when I looked it over, that I'd ever seen run. It was just dreamed up to fit the situation. And it fitted the situation very, very, very well. And it worked. But probably the thing would have flattened much faster with a more standard process. But that case entirely altered its characteristics. All because there was extreme genius followed through with extremely arduous, exactly by the book, e-metering. See, the genius took place because the e-meter was talking. And then the case was run out with the e-meter. And was finally down to a point where the thing was going, you know, and going up down here a little bit, you know. The needle was all free. How's that? 5 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning it was. They flattened it. But look at here. Nobody can do anything to supplant, alter, arouse, or do anything else to any great magnitude your interest in cases, beings, other things. I mean, that must be there before anybody can concentrate it or do anything else like that. Now, that's already there, right? Well, you're going along here fooling people by being in the role and guise of a human being. You got yourself all mocked up as a human being. All right, fine, you know a lot of skills and other things that apply to being a human being. Let me call something to your attention. Human beings have never been able to do anything about human beings, so it's just about time. It's just about time that you pulled up to your own level of activity. You know, you can't be right and be human. Did you realize that? Just walk down the street and try to be right for an hour. Try to be absolutely right for an hour, and somebody will shoot you. Can't be right and be human. Think it over sometime. All of the apologies and the social graces and the not-isness of self, never admitting that you're causing anything, you know. Masking over all various aspects of existence. And being right is the province of being an auditor. So when you're auditing somebody, just lay aside the humanness and the social graces and all the rest of it and simply be effective. And you've got it made. You've got it made. Part of being effective is being sufficiently secure in your own tools. Sufficiently secure in your own information and knowledge that when the pinch is on and when it's real tough going and your PC is ARC breaking and trying to blow and the rest of that, you don't suddenly say to yourself, there's probably something I don't know. There's probably a series of conditions which are not covered by the things I have been taught. and yourself just kind of blowing all of your information and going off in some peculiar, fantastic attack in some direction or another that will lead nowhere. Now, what turned it on will turn it off. If you got into a case enough to get into trouble, believe me, you were going in the right direction. And don't be so confounded human and say, oh, well, I mustn't invade his privacy any further than this. I really shouldn't inquire that deeply into somebody else's psyche. The only time I've ever seen an auditor get slugged was when he pulled out on the case. I saw an auditor in a course one time, ran the PC into a spaceship incident, where the PC, it was all mishmash, and the PC had evidently mutinied or revolted against the captain of the ship. It was a nice, good, big overt they had there, and it had a nice motivator connected with it, which had to do with the emasculation of the PC before they threw him out of the space lock. The crew held him down, and without anesthetic and with a dull knife, emasculated him. I'm sorry, ladies, to bring this up. Be human here for a minute, you see. Anyhow, this thing was going on. They were running the incident and going through, and probably the auditor involved had once or twice been a captain of a spaceship or a member of a crew which had decided to emasculate some crew member or something. But for some reason or other, this auditor, ordinarily a perfectly good auditor, blew up. And your instructors, one of the instructors you have right now, said, well, now bring it forward. It was getting toward the end of the day. Bring the incident forward to a quiet moment when nothing is happening, and then get the PC into present time. Well, this is kind of a dodgy thing to do, you know, because the incident was still running hot, but it's something you can do with an incident. You can park it. And this auditor, he had already had his fingernails gnawed off to the second joint on this incident, was sweating absolutely sulfuric acid. The second the instructor went two sessions further, you see, down the line, the auditor says to the PC, now go forward in the incident, go forward in the incident. Good, now come up to present time, come up to present time, come up to present time. The auditor had a PC all over him. The auditor had a very heavy, powerful man who was in an incident of a very tough, conscienceless spaceship crew member, halfway emasculated, all over that auditor's chest. Boy, that PC didn't come up to present time worth a nickel. That PC certainly came up to the auditor. Smash! Instructor got it all calmed down. About a half an hour later, both auditor and PC are part of a group standing around in the hall. Had it all cooled off, you see. And the auditor unfortunately mentioned some key word that occurred in the incident. And the PC, not an unpowerful man, grabbed a hold of that auditor's throat and almost killed him. I think it took two or three students to pry him off. Now compare that with this circumstance. A homicidal maniac lying on an auditing couch. Here's another command from the auditor. Takes a knife out of his pocket, unfolds it, looks at the auditor, and starts to get off the couch with a peculiar gleam in his eye. Now listen, if the auditor had pulled out at that moment, that would have been one dead auditor. Got the idea? Do you know what that auditor said? That auditor said, now put the knife back in your pocket, lie down on the couch, because you have not answered the last auditing command. And the person did and answered the auditing command. And in the course of that session, that was the end of his homicidal mania. The auditor at all times retains control of the situation, regardless of what social or unsocial graces or anything else get in his road. At all times, the auditor retains control of the situation. That's something for you to go by. The auditor is running the session. Not the PC and not the meter. The auditor runs that session. And if you run that session like you drive a racing car or run a locomotive or even with the presence of mind of doing embroidery work, whether you run it rough or smooth or skillfully or unskillfully or with an enormous ability or with very little ability, look, run the session. And the PC says that's wrong and this is wrong and I can't do that and I can't do that. No, no, no. The PC is not running the session. The auditor is running the session. You got that? All right, similarly, the auditor is running this e-meter. It's the auditor running this meter. Now, just exactly where and what and how does the meter come into it? Well, the meter gives information asked for, and of its own volition will give no information of any kind whatsoever. Got that? Something you might overlook, you know. This meter is not going to dream up any information to give you at all. You've got to ask for the information, and all the e-meter does is tell you whether the information is right or wrong, true or false, there or not there. You understand? Of its own volition, it does nothing. There is nothing it can do except confirm your own genius. Or tell you that your genius at the present moment is being on a par with a complete idiot. You got that now? It verifies or fails to verify your genius. It's a sort of a court of last resort. Now, this is an interesting thing, but auditors very often, with great arduousness, will occasionally try to put off on the preclear what is wrong with the auditor's case. And this has been known to happen even amongst the very, very best auditors. In other words, you try to put off on the PC, what's wrong with you? That's a natural thing because a person will dramatize those areas which are in total automaticity. The reason some men are a parson when they're not really analytically being a parson, you know, they're just kind of a parson because they think they have a feeling they ought to be a parson, you know. And they're going around saying, you sinners had better stop sinning, you sinners. You sinners had better stop sinning, you sinners. You sinners had better stop sinning, you sinners. And all of this business about looking at other men's wives, you see, that's got to stop. They've been having a ball, you see, going around the community telling everybody this endlessly and so forth. Don't you be very surprised when you get him on the e-meter to find the button is adultery. because he's dramatizing an area of automaticity. Now, don't worry about you doing that all the time. Only nuts do this. You don't do it all the time, but when you start handling the subject matter of nuttiness, auditors have been known, you see, to pick up the most random area in their own bank and try to give it to the PC. See, and say, well, that must be what's wrong with the PC. Why is that what is wrong with the PC? Well, that's wrong with the PC because that is an area of randomity. And everybody knows that is an area of randomity and automaticity. Everybody knows that it is. Now, maybe the PC doesn't know that. See, maybe the PC doesn't have that as an area of randomity. The PC may have an area of randomity which is entirely different than the auditor's area of randomity. See, the auditor's being very random, let us say, on the third dynamic. His automaticities are on the third dynamic chiefly. He knows those are the overt act areas. He knows that everybody has overt acts on that, but he knows this just because he knows the third dynamic goes wrong very often. And the third dynamic going wrong very often means that everybody must have the third dynamic going wrong very often, but he's auditing somebody who only has errors on the second dynamic. You find this auditor's extreme genius is devoted to groups, states, counties, police forces, devoted entirely to the problems of government, the family that fits in a third dynamic group only, and he just searches. What's wrong with the PC? What's wrong with the PC has to do the fact that he has, for the last 8 or 9 millennia, been devoting himself entirely to the desertion of small children. You see, that's the area of randomity. What do you do with small children? You desert them. And of course, one of the ways you tell this is that the PC is sometimes very wroth on this subject. Sees an article in the paper about something or other, about the desertion of small children. This person ought to be killed. That person ought to be hanged. That person ought to be hamstrung and fed to the alligators. But the auditor, if he himself is auditing on a kind of a stimulus response, and he isn't running the session, he just kind of looking at his own bang, looking at the PC's bang, and so on. He gets into some kind of thing where this thing is really the command performance area, see? This is going to tell him sooner or later if he applies some formula to it. And I give you the formula, and then you apply the formula to the E-meter, you see? And then the E-meter will tell you what to do, and then the process will be over here in the textbook, and that's all you run. See, you don't have to have any responsibility for the session at all. You're never going to clear anybody that way. The very funny part of it is, do you know that we're almost that good now? We're almost that good. But you won't crack a case all the way down the middle that way. You've got to have an actual understanding of people. You've got to have an understanding of this principles, the principles involved. The principles we use are very simple, but you have to understand them. And this is very simple to use, but you've got to be sufficiently familiar with it. That you're not worried about how to make it work. All you're worried about is whether or not it verified what you thought. Now, what the PC thought, well, what you thought. You see, now, the PC's holding on to it. And you say to the PC, you say, well, now, how do you feel? How do you feel about, how do you feel about children? You've got your ideas, you know, you figure it out. Tates. Get him on the E-meter, you know. Say, well, now, how do you feel about, it's all right, we have a session now, and so on, you write a pot of questions. You know. What goal do you have for this? And that's very good, it's fine. The goal for the session, all right. I'm going to have a little two-way calm here, sorry. How do you feel about children? The E-meter just sits there. How do you feel about children? How do you feel about older children? Dead as a mackerel. Well, you've had a lose here of some kind or another. And very often you kind of, from that point, you see, just say, well, I guess I'm not so smart after all. Nah, you don't have to be perfect, and you don't have to be right. Be satisfied to be right in trying to analyze cases in just one question out of 1,000, because it only takes one question to crack a case. Just be satisfied to be right no oftener than that. And boy, you'll be a wizard. Providing you can bear being wrong 999 times without all of a sudden feeling assaulted, blighted, disgraced, and a candidate for ejection from the human race. You got to be willing to be wrong, you know. So you say you weren't right, so it wasn't children. Now, instead of going, well, oh, they're children, you say, well, let's see, how do you feel about mothers of children? How do you feel about mothers? How do you feel about mothers? How do you feel about mothers? Let's see, classifications of mothers. How do you feel about married mothers? How do you feel about unmarried mothers? Well, all right. Now it's getting someplace. Did you ever have a child, Miss Smith?
Yes, I did. I didn't mean to. So what?
God, you ever guess it? Well, it's just pure genius, that's all, see? Genius, that's all. But genius consists of being able to be right sometimes and never upset if you're wrong, but trying again. But it's you that make this thing talk. And it's you that makes the PC talk. And it's you that runs the session. And your cause in a session. And all this thing does is tell you if you're going the right direction, gives you a clue as to where the PC sits and what the PC is all about, gives you a comprehension of whether or not you're flattening the process. And that's about all it does. But believe me, that's plenty. Without something to check up on you, you, me, or anybody else would ride our own hobby horses. It's very interesting, you know, that auditors are very loath to really dig up overt acts and withholds off PCs. It's very peculiar, but they are very loath to do so. You would be amazed how long some auditors will sit with some tremendous overt act on the PC, staring them in the face, actually buying from the PC the fact they've got the PC's overt act. But the PC's processes don't flatten and nothing happens, and the PC's kind of going around yakking, yakking, yakking. He really thinks he can audit, but he really can't audit, you know. I mean, he ran the wrong process on me, but I didn't tell him. I tried to make it look like a session, you know. Let me tell you something. That auditor hadn't got that PC's overts. Now, because it's so close to PT, and because we mustn't divulge all the secrets of the PCs and so forth, that we recover in session and all that, write them down and send them to St. Hill. You don't have to hold on to them. I'll be responsible for them. Don't think that PCs run badly, or that PCs are very difficult, or that some PCs are harder than other PCs. Just think this way, that some overt acts are harder to get to than others. Because with the overts and the withholds off, every PC is strictly pianola. They run like pushing little doll baby carriages down the very smoothly paved cement sidewalk. If your PC isn't running right, you are guilty of not having picked off the overts and withholds off the case and not having run responsibility on those overts and withholds. Or you're guilty of some combination of this that runs something like this, you know. The PC is apparently very glib on the subject of the second dynamic and will just give you endless numbers of overts on the second dynamic. This PC will confess all day and all night on the second dynamic. Well, some auditors wait a day or two, and some auditors wait an intensive or two. And some auditors never find out that all that is a cover-up. You say anybody that's that freely spoken on any subject that's that forbidden, of course, has all these overts and withholds off. Obvious. No, it isn't how glib the PC is. It's how well the PC runs and how well this tone arm stays down. It's well how well that tone arm stays down around the clear readings. As long as that tone arm keeps hanging up, hanging up, hanging up, one of two factors is in error. You haven't got the story on the PC, which means, of course, that this life and the last couple of lives can all constitute a withhold almost known to the PC because he's in the same environment. Got the idea? You just haven't got the story on this PC having to do with his most recent lives, his most recent activities, or you just haven't run any responsibility. One or the other will get this needle down. And if the needle's high, you have two things. One, you either haven't got, if the needle's up here, high, around 5 or 6, you either haven't got all the PC's overts or withholds in this lifetime, or for sure you don't have them for the last 2 or 3 lifetimes. There's something funny about the setup somewhere, who he's been or something of the sort. Not way back, but right now. See? Something here in PT. You see, the last lifetime is right here in PT. You know, there's even people walking around that the person knew. See? The guy's wife is still alive, you know. All kinds of things, you know. They might even be in the same neighborhood. They're reading the same magazines and publications. They might even be looking at the same TV programs. In the future, you'll notice that's the case. Some guy will know it's this lifetime because he's looking at Gunsmoke. But you just haven't got it, that's all. You just haven't got this area, this now area, isn't resolved on the purpose of overts or withholds, or you just haven't run responsibility on any part of it that really bit. There was something wrong with the way you ran responsibility. One or the other will pull this thing down. See, it's all right for the PC to sit there, well, I was actually the person who shot Mayor Cermak and at Franklin Delano Roosevelt, my overt act is having missed. Or something of the sort, see? Some kind of a miscomputation and so on. Say, well, good, we've got that one off. You got it off? You have not got it off. You have the first command executed. The first part of responsibility is admitting it to the auditor, and that's only the first part of the responsibility. From there on out, he's got to take some responsibility for it. And the person who sits there and brags the most very often has the least responsibility. They haven't even got enough responsibility not to brag about it. You've got to get the responsibility flat on that. What can they really admit causing? What could they really withhold about that? Something has got to be factual. Something's got to click in this particular zone. So you might have the story, but no responsibility to go along with it, and this tone arm remains high. You've got it? Just getting the story isn't going to take the tone arm down necessarily. Although it usually does, if you get the story for the last two or three lifetimes, and you get this thing pretty well patched, you know how this person's set up one way or the other, you'll have a remarked case change, and this thing will be lower. That's what you can say about it. It will be lower. But if it just, you've got the story evidently, you've got the overts and the withholds off, well, don't go on suspecting endlessly that the PC in front of you in this lifetime robbed Fort Knox. You don't immediately assume that this is the case. Because it's not necessarily true. It may be that the PC has told all. Hasn't told anything about the last lifetime, maybe before this one or something like that. There's still withholds on the line. But has pretty well told everything he could be arrested for in this lifetime or anything it could be done to him for. Pretty well told him, but has no responsibility for it. So the tone arm remains high. So the tone arm is a measure of the amount of responsibility taken by the PC for his existence and for his overts and withholds in general. So this tone arm can be said to be, and I now give you a highly important vital datum in the use of an e-meter and the keynote to all auditing, and it is simply this, that the higher the tone arm, the less the responsibility for the overts and withholds. And one that's hanging down around here shows a pretty high level of responsibility. And the very, very high tone arm that's up around 5, 4.5, 5, 6 on any given incident gives you less responsibility. So the tone arm is the responsibility measure. The amount of responsibility the person is actually taking for his acts, deeds, and so forth registers at once on this tone arm. Not on the needle. The needle registers less the less responsibility the person takes. Now, you could get the man who shot Lincoln. And if he had no responsibility whatsoever, say, well, did you shoot Lincoln? You know, sitting up here around 5, 5.5. You say, did you shoot Lincoln? He said, yes, I shot Lincoln. And we find the needle just sits there, doesn't move, doesn't get stiff. Yeah, I shot Lincoln, yeah. Yeah, shot Lincoln. Tone arms clear up here. Needle isn't moving. Needle doesn't register. You can be a real knucklehead as an auditor. Complete knucklehead. The thing is sitting way up here, and you can actually slam into the exact combination of the case that is over the head of the PC to take responsibility for. And you've got the story, but the needle doesn't tell you anything. All you've got to assume is the case is irresponsible in general, and therefore the tone arm retains a high measure. And if a tone arm is retaining a very high measure, you have to be very exact to get any action on this meter whatsoever. You've got to take something he still has some responsibility for. You're not getting the least responsibility as your needle measure. That's only going to go on things he still has some responsibility for. And you get something he still has some responsibility for. You know, have you been telling your wife lately that you enjoyed her morning coffee? You know, he said, yes. Well, did you enjoy your morning coffee lately? Well, no, I haven't been. Well, you get a big drop on the needle. He could be responsible for that much overt act, but nothing else. And that goes along with one of these very high tone arms. So as you sort this tone arm down, you've got to get some general responsibility onto the case one way or the other before you start to read any story or anything else about the case. See that? Now, it isn't true that merely by taking the overt acts of off the case, the tone arm comes down, 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 and finally reads it clear, and now you're all set. That is not true at all. The other determined mass on the case is there to the degree the person takes no responsibility for it. Look, this person says, you see, this thing measures mass. I'll give you the exact thing this does. Person has masses, ridges. Once in a while, some auditor from back 1953 or something like that says, you know, you used to talk about these ridges, and I didn't have any reality on that, and I kind of parted company with what you were doing because I didn't see any of these ridges. The other day, I was being audited, and I was found out I was looking at the doggone this biggest ridge right in front of my face, just like you said. Person gets below seeing these things. But this is a ridge. That measures a ridge. That measures mass in the bank. Mass in the bank. High tone arm, heavy energy mass. High tone arm on any given subject, high energy mass on any given subject. You got it? High energy mass on any given subject means other determined mass. Because mass that the individual... This is so confoundedly simple. If you get yourself all involved with the electronics of it all and so forth, you're sunk. You'll go the same route most of the electronics men go. It is not difficult. This thing is the essence of simplicity. That's why nobody ever invented it, you see? Now, here's the point about this thing. The amount of mass a person has in his bank is also the degree of unclearness. He's unclear to the degree that he has facsimiles, masses, energies of various kinds that whiz and go boom and so forth. You got that? You'll agree with that, huh? You see, if he hasn't got any engrams or masses, he's clear. Well, if he has got engrams and masses and that sort of thing, he's not clear, right? Well, how in the name of common sense can an individual have engrams and masses that other people mocked up? So the only way he can have one of these confounded things in the bank is to mock it up and say somebody else did it. In other words, the less responsibility he has for his own facsimiles, masses, energies, machines, and circuits, the more he's got of them. And the tougher and thicker they are. Got it? Because he says these things are other determined. And I can't do anything about them because they're other determined. Somebody else did that. Oh no, we can prove to you conclusively the person mocks up his own bank. Well, if a person mocks up his own bank, and it is there, the only way it could still be there is by the person saying he didn't mock it up. He'd have to put that lie there to make it persist. See? So the amount of bank a person has is inversely proportional to the amount of responsibility he has. And that works on any given subject. The less responsibility a person has for whizzo machines, the more bank he's going to have on the subject of whizzo machines. That seem understandable? The less responsibility he takes for women, the more mishmash he's going to have in the bank on the subject of women. The less responsibility a woman has for men, the more mishmash in the bank she's going to have on the subject of men. And that mishmash is actual electronic particles held in suspension by denial of origin. Person said, well, I didn't mock them up. They don't come from any place. Those things didn't come from any place. I mean, somebody have put them in here. They went along with the body. The body gave them to me, you know. The devil it did. Now, as he starts to take responsibility for these things, all he does is pick up their actual causation, their actual authorship, and their actual authorship was himself. Nobody can put anything in a bank but the guy himself. The girl's got a bank. She made a bank. If it's persisting, it's because she said it wasn't put there by herself. So this measures the degree of responsibility of the individual because it measures the amount of mass in the reactive bank. The more reactive mass there is, the more ohms of resistance there are in this particular meter. Now, electronics men will tell you, well, you see, the more mass you have, actually, the less resistance you have, so this couldn't possibly be right. Well, I don't know what kind of mass they're talking about. Now, I really don't know what kind of mass they're talking about because I've taken the electrodes of this machine and stretched them a little wider on a stick and found out the more stick I got between the electrodes, the higher the tone arm read. And I've taken ohm resistor blocks and put them between the electrodes, and the more ohms, the higher the tone arm was. And I've taken preclears, and I found areas where they conceived to have a lot of mass, and the more mass they had in that particular area, the higher the tone arm read. Q. E. Ron. This thing, for some peculiar reason, the higher the tone arm, the more the mass. That's the way it reads. I don't care what Einstein said. I don't care what Newton said. I think he was nuts. Invent a mathematics everybody has to learn and nobody's used yet. Calculus. Never forgive him for that overt act. If any of you discover Newton, have him write me an apology, will you? Because I'm the one he did the overt act against. I've had to study it now for about 4 college educations, and I'm getting tired of it. I keep going around asking the professors, what do you use this for that you can't use it, that you can't solve with algebra? And they say, oh, well, it's mathematics, very great mathematics. Newton thought it up. Well, now, what am I studying it for? Well, Newton thought it up. Well, that's not good enough, you see. Now, we don't care what the electronic mishmash is here. All we care about is the exact coordination which results in cleared somatics, cleared people, free people, people that feel good, people that feel better. Now, anytime you have somebody that's going around and he's got lumbosis, you know, and he's going up and down, he's going clink, clunk, you know, clunk, clunk. You put him on the tone arm and you say, back. See, he was sitting here. He was sitting here someplace, you know. You say, back. How do you feel about backs? How are backs? How do backs strike you? And the individual says, backs, backs. I don't know, backs, backs, backs. Stuck, stuck. Now, you can make it twice as good by saying, what part of the back would you be willing to create? Of course, this will just get tougher and tougher and beefier and beefier. And up goes the tone arm on the subject of backs. Now, you can bring it up so high that he doesn't feel his back and feels much better. He's become a back. Now, all you do is have to run. What part of a back could you be responsible for to bring this down? And as this comes down, his backache goes. Do you want any more proof? Now, if you ask the PC to look around while he's running this thing, and this thing is still reading high, he'll tell you that he feels all sorts of black masses, and he does this and that, and there's all kinds of backs, and there's mounds and stacks of backs, and backs, backs, but it's mass he's talking about. There's masses, masses, masses. As these masses are cleared away, the meter will again read clear for the PC. All right, I'll go over that again, because this is terribly important. This is the entire essence of an e-meter, and there is no further essence to an e-meter. This is an e-meter tied into processing with a just thud. And it's just this. The more bank a person is carrying around, the less he likes it. You know, the worse he feels about it. You have a subjective reality on that, I'm sure. The more bank, the worse he feels about it all. All right. The more bank, the higher the tone arm. The higher the tone arm, the less responsibility. The more bank he has, the less responsibility he has for the bank, because the definition of responsibility is to admit causing. And the less bank he admits he caused, you know, other fault, they did it over there, so forth, the less responsibility he has for the bank, and the more bank he gets, you see. High tone arm, lots of bank, little responsibility. Now, in view of the fact that the tone arm will go up on any given subject or go up on the whole PC who is stuck, actually, he's merely stuck in a mass. And you don't unstick him, so he appears to be a PC who is total mass. High arm, he's got very low responsibility. Now, you'll see this oddity. You'll see a PC with a high tone arm who is apparently a fairly responsible person. But not on the subject the tone arm is high on. Got that? There'll just be one, maybe this person can do this and do that, and is apparently fairly responsible. You also find a little slippery occasionally. But apparently pretty responsible and doing all right. You put them on the meter, and that tone arm is high. Well, you'd say, well, this denotes an irresponsible person. Well, that is not a correct adjudication. It's an irresponsible person on the subject the mass is keyed in about. And the mass may be keyed in because this person is a woman and doesn't like women's bodies. So it just stays high all the time. You'll find this person has the most trouble from women. Now let's get on to the rest of this here. Has the most trouble from women and the most overts on women because they're the least responsible for women. We'll go into that a little bit later. But the person is sitting consistently in something that's has a constant re-stimulator. Now, it could be an auditor. It could be you find some people in session, they will read right at their clear rating. They leave session and go bank to three. Woman, second, she leaves session, she goes bank to three, comes back to session, she's at three, starts into session, goes to two. Runs consistently at two during the session, leaves session, goes to three. You'll say, what in the name of common sense is this all about? Well, it takes facing a male to be a woman. That's what it's all about. You'll find all kinds of goofy combinations like this. It might be the room. It might be rooms. It might be something consistently the PC is surrounded with. It might be such a thing. It'll be a broad subject like rooms, houses, bodies, clothes. You see, something like that. They're just holding this thing up. But one of these zones, PC is totally irresponsible for. You just find the irresponsibility, run responsibility on it one way or the other, and you bring this constantly high needle right straight on down up to the point when their overts start to show up, and then they go clunk, clunk, clunk. You just don't get it down here the way you ought to. See? But you can bring a chronically high needle down by just finding the zone of irresponsibility and turning it into a zone of responsibility. That's all there is to an e-meter. That's all there is to one of the things. And when we add the PC and your genius and stick-to-ivity, dedication, and your own state of case in good shape, when we add your own willingness to pull overts and withholds off of people and straighten people up so that you never go into a tacit consent on something, why, we've got an auditing session. And only then do we really have one. And that's what we're here to get. Thank you. Okay, why don't you take a 15-minute break here, and we'll have at it some more.